And so we don't take God with us. God is wherever we are.
Amen.
He's there. Now, Psalms, the last part, let me read this again, these verses again. And remember what David says, verse 19, surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Several things here. Surely, there is no doubt about this.
Exactly.
This is not what might happen, this is what will happen. And not only is it what will happen, it is what God wills to happen.
Yes, sir.
For it surely thou wilt. Okay? So surely God is willing to slay the wicked.
Amen.
That's just as adequate interpretation or translation of the Hebrew as what you have right here in the KJV. Surely God is willing to slay the wicked. But David, this, of course, is putting it as an exclamation toward God. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. There is no other place I would rather be this morning on this earth than right here where I am.
Yep.
And there are a lot of things I'd like to say, but I can't because I would hurt people's feelings. And I also know that when I point my finger at you, I must, David, also point my finger at myself.
Yeah.
So I don't say these things preaching at you or down to you. But I mean this morning, there is no other place I would rather be than right here. I've been in a lot of places before. And I don't mean just, I've been in a lot of places where the gospel is preached. There is no other place I'd rather be than right here.
Yes, sir.
And the reason is not because this place or these people, us, that we are any better than anyone else. You know the reason why is? Because God in His sovereign providence and purpose put us together.
Yes, sir.
That's why.
That's
exactly right. We live on this earth, exactly where God Almighty ordained for us to live.
Yes, sir.
And we have been gathering together for many years now based upon the fact God purposed for us to be together. I've got no desire to go anywhere else.
Exactly.
I pray, God, I mean this with all sincerity. If I lose my job today, I'm not looking somewhere else to go to find employment.
Exactly.
Jack, I will look with my best intentions for employment here because I've got no desire to go anywhere else.
That's it.
Now, why am I saying this? Because of this. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. This is one place we can come in relative peace and safety.
Amen.
Right.
Because after a couple times when the enemy comes here, they don't come here anymore.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Now we're laughing, but that's the fact.
That's true.
Let them come in here two or three Sundays in a row, and if they're not one of God's, eventually they'll filter their way on back out.
Exactly.
Now some have lasted longer than others, but that's usually our kinfolk.
Yeah. Exactly.
The ones that had no other option when they were younger.
Exactly.
Or whatever, you know. As they got older and had their own way, of course, things change. But I'm saying it's like a refuge. Now, you can't go to the First Baptist Church and find a refuge in Beckley. I guarantee you that. But you can come here and find a refuge. You know why? Because you will, by God's providence and grace, hear the truth taught, and men and women don't want it. They don't want to have it. They will not come. And, you know, for them, it's degrading enough to come and meet in a building like this.
Exactly. That's it.
Then let alone to hear what they hear said. You know?
Yeah.
You act like y'all don't like everybody. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee?
Yeah.
Amen.
Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. As I said, Ellen and I was talking there two or three Sundays ago, you know, about Earl, how he, you know, felt there was, you know, there's somebody with a bludgeon behind every tree. You know why? Because there is.
Exactly.
It was not a phobia. No. It's real. This world hates God.
Amen.
This world hates Christ, and because of that, this world hates you.
Yes, sir.
It hates me. And apart from God's restraining providence, they would kill us if they could.
Sure.
They would do us great harm if they could. You see, God's people are not a part of the world. You have the seed of the woman who has a seed. The seed of a woman is Christ. The seed of the woman is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord has a seed. He has a people.
Yes, sir.
But then there's also the seed of the serpent.
Yeah, that's right.
And our Lord gave the illustration. He said there are tares and wheat. God Almighty sows the wheat. The devil sows the tares. Why did he illustrate it that way, David? Because that's what it is. They are the devil's people. They are the enemies of the people of God. Yet Christ said, let them all grow together. Now that's in the world. I don't mean you put up with it here. Now there are people who interpret that this way. Well, you got the unregenerate in the church as well as the regenerate. Well, if the unregenerate are professing to be regenerate, then they best conduct themselves as the regenerate.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. In this building, in this place, is where the truth is to be preached.
Yes, sir.
And we don't dilly-dally around with that.
Exactly.
We don't invite men to come over and then ask them to lie about where they're from so we can get the banner for having the most folk. Now, we think, well, that's what them old Arminians do. No, that's what grace people do.
Yeah, right.
There's grace people that do that kind of garbage. That's a lie. That saddens me, David. And that saddens me. We meet somebody new, and we know they know the gospel, but they still got to have religion.
Yeah.
Well, if you want religion, have it at your home by yourself with God. And you and God deal with that. And then when you come here, lay it aside and leave it at home.
Yeah, amen.
Because we're not gathered here for religion. We're gathered to hear the truth.
Amen.
Now, have I always spoke the truth? No. No, I've been called before on it before. I've found where I have misstated something before. But I do know this. In this place, there is a sincere desire to hear, thus saith the Lord, and thus saith the Lord only.
Amen.
It's not that we're perfect at it. It's not, Joe, that we always succeed, but that's the desire. We desire nothing else than these three things: prayer, singing, and the declaration of the Word of God.
Amen.
That's it, ain't it?
That's it.
That's what we have here. We don't have anything else. And yet in this religious world, even amongst God's people, because let's not act like we're all that separate.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh? Let's not act like we're all that separate. Why did David say, depart from me, therefore you bloody men?
Yeah, because it was there.
Uh-huh. Because we're all in this world together.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And we're hooked together in certain ways, whether we like it or not.
Exactly.
We have to work in this world, Mac.
Yeah.
We have to deal with people, David, in this world.
Oh, yeah.
And we can't become hermits. It don't work. Those who've tried it wind up even more bonkers than they already are. No, but David says, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak, and then here's the point. I don't want anyone to go away. I hope no one's went away in any of these messages, but I don't want anyone going away this morning thinking, well, Walter's saying the Bible gives me the right to hate someone if I want to. No, because the problem is when we hate who we want to, we hate the wrong people.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's it.
But there are people who deserve to be hated.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I want you to notice David doesn't say, do not I hate them that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
did he? Because David don't know who God hates and who God does not hate.
Exactly.
That's not because God don't hate some folk, because God does hate some folk.
Exactly.
David's not here trying to discover the elect versus the reprobate. And yet I think that's where our minds, especially if we've been steeped in the truth, we're thinking, all right, who's the elect, who's the reprobate? We don't know. I can't point out to you this morning in this group exactly who the elect are and exactly who are not. You know, I can't do that in all honesty. I give you my best shot, and I'll start with me. I'm one of the elect. You understand what I'm saying though, don't you? David's not trying to figure out election versus reprobation. He's trying to look at the facts. Who hates God?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
In that state, they're my enemy. Well, what if God changes them? Thank God for it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank God for it. But do you find anywhere in Scripture that Jesus saying to his disciples, now among the Pharisees, there might be a few that are gods, so you be careful what you say about them. Do you find him talking that way? No, because the Pharisee, as a Pharisee, was holding the error.
Yes, sir.
And that Pharisee's error is to be rebuked. It's to be the light of God's truth is to be shined upon that error, no matter who that person is.
Exactly.
Whether that person's one of the elect or not, errors, David's still error.
Yes, sir.
You see, we're not trying to figure out who to hate. There's enough of them out there to hate. Believe you me, the majority of this world, the majority of the people in this world are the children of the devil. And apart from God's restraining hand, apart from even civil society as, you know, but it's still civil society. Because we don't know what total anarchy is.
Yeah, that's true.
And we don't want to know what total, we don't want to live in a world or in a society or in a community. You and I don't want to live in a community where total anarchy rules.
That's true.
Where it is truly each man for himself. Because let us know, we know that's why we're told, Joe, to bow to those higher powers that God's put in place, because that keeps society to a degree in check.
Yes, sir.
But let me know this, it keeps it in check exactly as God Almighty's ordained for it to be in check.
Amen.
All God has to do would take his hand off of us for a moment, and this whole creation would be in total chaos. It would be each and every man for his own, so we'd be at one another's throats. We'd be at one another's throats. Why? Because we hate God by nature. You see, if you had heard me preach 30 years ago, you'd have had the right to hate me. You know why? Because I use God's name in vain.
Yeah.
Because I preach lies, Jack, about God.
Yeah.
If you'd have seen me 30 years ago, I guarantee you, Ellen, you'd never thought that guy would be preaching for us one day out here at a little old place at Crow, West Virginia.
You're right.
But do you look at, I can't judge. I can't say anything. No, it says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee.
Amen.
He ain't trying to figure out who the elect are. That's not what we're talking about here.
Exactly.
Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? Now let me tell you, if you don't feel that, you don't know God.
Yeah.
You've never met Christ. Because people in this world lie on our Lord on a daily basis. Have you ever had somebody tell a lie about one of your family members? I mean a lie, something you knew that was not true. It gets you down in here, don't it? It makes you, David, want to rise up. You know? And even though you may not, maybe you have, but it makes you want to rise up and just pop them right between the eyes. How much more so ought we to feel this righteous indignation when men lie on our Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen, that's right.
He's the God of all glory.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean I take things into my own hands then? No. God can defend himself. David doesn't say, now God, I'll defend you. No, but he says, I hate them that hate thee.
Yeah.
I'm grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with... It's a perfect hatred. Now, it's something I don't know by literal experience. That's why he says, The next fret, I count him.
Yeah.
My enemies.
Yes, sir.
Now, I have said, made this statement before. And I'm supposed to have new glasses coming. So when I get my new glasses and I can see up close and far away at the same time, I'll see your facial expressions even better. But right now, I preach without my glasses on and you're kind of blurry. I don't know whether you're frowning or whether you got this bad indigestion. But I remember quoting, I was standing right here, you all were sitting right there, and quoting our Lord Jesus Christ when he said one time, he prayed to the Father and says, Father, I thank thee, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And then he even adds, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And I said, we ought to be able to feel that way. And I seen a few of you out here and you look kind of pained. Now, I understand that. I'm not being hypercritical. I understand that. But if the high and the mighty here, is the way I'm putting it, the wise that God's hid it from, these great people, happened to be one of my own family members, I ought to be able to say to God, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid it from them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, I didn't say we always feel that way, but we ought to.
Yeah, exactly.
We ought to. You see, God is to be praised even in his judgment, and that's what we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Now, there'll come a time when we'll praise him.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think it's... Is it Revelation 19? Now let's see if that's it. Revelation 19. You see, the problem is when we look at passages like that, like what our Lord said, when we look at passages like this, I hate them that hate thee, we often immediately turn within and start looking at ourselves and say, how can I do that? I don't know how many times I've made the wrong choice as to my, even Ellen people I thought were friends.
Oh, yeah.
How can I, you know, how can I determine who my enemies are?
Exactly.
I'm so prone to failure, but that's the problem. We're not to be looking in at us for any of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're to be looking out here at things as they are. Objectively.
Yes, sir.
And if a man or a woman for that matter, but if a person is telling lies on God, they are an enemy of God.
Amen.
Now if they happen to be one of the elect and God saves them later, thank God for it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen.
But if they happen to be one of the reprobate and God damns them for it, thank God for it.
Amen.
Somebody said, do you really praise God for that? Yeah. Chapter 19, it's just for more context, let's look at it. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his mercies. Is that what it says? No. It says, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now, we often like to think of this as some entity that has no people with it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just it's the world. You ever heard people say the world? That means the, how they say it? It means the world society. It means the world as it is against God. No, we're talking about people.
That's exactly right.
People. This great whore is comprised of people. It is people who have hurt God's people.
That's exactly right.
It is the enemies of God who have come in against God's people and harmed them.
Yes, sir.
And again they said, Hallelujah! And what happened?
Yeah.
And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne, saying, so be it. That's what amen, now, right?
Yeah.
Amen basically means, so be it.
That's right.
Be it that way. So be it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody says, I just don't feel that way right now. Okay, that's fine. I'm not telling you you got to feel that way, but you better count it that way.
Yeah.
Because if not, you will pick the wrong friends.
Yeah.
And I've been there before.
Oh, yeah.
You will pick the wrong friends. And let's go on. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and that fear him, both small and great. Now, remember, what's the context? The context is the judgment of the great whore.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's the context. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Amen.
Now, is this just something that's what we're going to say one day? Kind of like, well, that's the way it is, you know. No. Look at the next verse.
Yeah.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him.
Amen.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
Yeah.
Now, the honor, what they're looking forward to is not just the judgment of the whore, but their union, their vital, final. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
So there's no, their vital, final union with the Lamb.
Amen.
But coming alongside of that has to do what? The judgment of the world.
Yes, sir.
The judgment of the enemies of God.
Exactly.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, these are the true sayings of God. Are we in heaven going to thank God and praise God for part of what he is, or for all of who he is? We will praise him for everything.
Amen.
We will then, David, be enabled like Jesus, and we'll be able to say it and mean it then. Well, I'm afraid sometimes we might say, you might say it now, but whether we really mean it's a different story. Lord, I thank you.
Yeah.
I actually thank you that you hid it from some folk and you revealed it to others.
Yep. That's it.
Now somebody said, did our Lord really say that? Yeah, he really said that. And David really said what we read here, Psalms 139. And remember, David was not looking down and thinking. Now, we're not told exactly what circumstance, but never throughout David's travels do you find, now you find David considering the Philistines and this group and that as his enemies, because they're the enemies of God. They're the ones God said, go take over, right? Go take over. But David's greatest trouble came not from without those enemies. David's greatest trouble came from within.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Those enemies. Those were the difficult ones.
Yeah.
If the man that comes at you face on has a knife, you can at least see him coming and prepare for that. It's the ones that are standing behind you whispering sweet nothings in your ear.
Oh, yeah.
How much they care for you. You know, how thankful for God they are for you. And the next thing you know, they're spreading all kinds of lies about you. And then the hard part is they're spreading the truth about you.
Yeah.
Scripture says love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes, sir.
See, when you really love somebody, you don't go pointing out to everybody else their faults.
Exactly.
You see, you know, when you really love someone, you don't go and say, well, guess what so-and-so did to that. Somebody said, well, do you hear what so-and-so did today? I don't want to hear it.
That's right.
I don't care what it is. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Somebody says, well, I don't. Do you do that for everybody? No, I don't do that for everybody. And neither do you.
Exactly.
And neither does anybody on the face of this earth either.
That's right.
Now, some people might want to claim they do.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when Scripture talks about love covering a multitude of sins, it's not talking about God loving us, therefore he just covers our sins. No, God atoned for. He judged our sins.
Yeah.
The writer there is talking about us.
Yeah.
And the fact is, we put up with one another because we all know basically we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yep. We're on the same boat. Some of us have a little more trouble with this thing or that thing than others do. But those over here, Jack, that don't have trouble with this thing or that thing, they got things of their own they have trouble with.
Exactly.
We don't all suffer under the same troubles and trials and tribulations, not particularly, not exactly, but yet we all suffer under those things.
Yeah.
We all know, I was going to say the limitations of the flesh, that's a very light word to use.
Yeah.
We all know the despicable nature of the flesh.
Amen.
And how easily it can raise its ugly head, and before you even know it,
yeah.
Before you even know it, you find yourself on the wrong path.
Oh, yeah.
As far as you know, the wrong path.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You ever found yourself there? David found himself there on occasion, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
This is why David went on to say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me."
Yeah.
But just not, it's not just good enough to know. If that's all you ever got, that'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? If God, all God ever did was show us how bad we are, David, it'd be a pretty miserable state to be in, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Aren't you glad David didn't stop there? He said, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way." Lead me. Now you know what the lead means, don't you?
Yeah.
That means somebody gets a hold of the reins.
Yeah.
And they pull you along.
Yeah.
In other words, let me put it in more modern day language. God, make me do what I'm supposed to do.
Amen.
That's what it takes.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's it.
And somebody said, "Well, I prayed that and it didn't happen." Yeah, I know. It's how faulty you are.
Exactly.
It's how faulty you are. That's how faulty we are. And I'm not saying just say the words. That must be our constant attitude, our constant
yes.
frame of mind. God, I'm just like everybody else. You see, I was the enemy of God one time.
Yeah. Well,
my nature is still, my old nature, my Adamic nature is still the enemy of God.
Yeah.
And if I could, I would revolt against God this very moment. But I thought, let me just bounce all back. Let's just go all the way and I'll wind this thing down. You know, right now, because we are so small, I don't mean in numbers, but because we're so small in numbers, we're small in influence. You know what I mean? We're small in sway, you know? We're not like some of the big churches here and there, you know.
Yeah.
Jack, there's some places they've got a TV audience. People listen to them, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have none of that. Now somebody says, "Well, I'm glad we don't." Well, you know, be careful. God might give it to you.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes God will give us exactly what we don't want.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when I was younger, I thought I had it figured out. Well, if I don't ask for that, I won't get it. Or, you know, if I want something bad enough, ask for it. Well, you know, sometimes God gives you stuff even when you don't ask for it.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
But be that as it may, I just thought, I want to go back to this. God is the judge, and we ought to praise God for every attribute, for everything that He is. I got to tell all myself, I went to a football game yesterday evening. And I sat there, and it was a massive crowd. I don't know, I mean thousands. 50, 60,000 people.
Yeah.
And I heard that crowd roar. I mean, I even got in the wave, too. but seriously, I was sitting there, and I was, you know, and the game kind of got slow, and I was sitting there thinking, and I heard, you know, you'd see these roars, you know what I mean? And a roar would come up from the crowd, and I thought about that passage over in Revelation. You know, this massive voice. What, you know, like John calls it thunderings.
Yeah.
And lightnings. You know, like the rushing of many waters. And I thought, can you imagine if you had this many people that love the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ all together at one time, and just let, now some people might be adverse to it, but just let D.J. Ward preach to them one time. You know, if they had a spark of giddy up in them whatsoever, it would be a roar that would go up from that crowd.
Yeah.
See, basically, that's what John's seeing.
Yeah.
He's seeing all of God's people there next to the end, gathered together. And David, they're crying out, Alleluia.
Yeah.
The Lord God. Next time you go to a sporting event, just close your eyes when you hear that roar and think about one day when God, when we do that. Little old me will be in there.
Yeah.
Mac, you want a God's? I'm one of God's. We'll be in there with them.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And that great roar will go up. And I believe, Jack, that's really going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to cry out, Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And you know what? Every believer in that day will be vindicated.
Amen.
Because that's what we've been trying to tell people.
That's
basically, in all the different ways we say it, Joe, that's what we've been telling people.
Yep.
Our Lord, the God Almighty, God Omnipotent, He reigns.
Amen.
That's all we're telling people. He reigns. He's in control. He's in charge.
Yes, sir.
You know what they say? Well, you know, you poor soul. One day, and it says every knee shall bow, and I like the way the one translation puts it, and every tongue shall swear.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
God's going to make them swear to His glory.
Yes,
isn't that something? And in the process, He's going to be saving some, and He's going to be damning others.
Yes, sir.
It will all be to His glory. Father, I pray that as we proceed and as we gather together as Thy people and take of this table, may it be a time that we not think of ourselves. It doesn't matter about ourselves. That's not the point, Lord, that we, when we do these things, as our beloved brother Paul has instructed us, that we do these things in remembrance of You. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, can we see Paul maybe and Roy Jr., if you don't mind?